So my brother is getting married. He got engaged, I guess, a couple years ago. So this has been like a long planning session. It's been quite a journey to get here. They set the date far well in advance, and they're marching onward bravely through the circumstances. It's been so they have the time, I would say, to do it right. They want to have a full traditional wedding in the classic sense. I personally am not a fan of them. I'm not a fan of them in the sense that I would not want to have one. I hope that makes sense. I don't poo-poo. I don't think less of you if you want to have one, like the same way I feel about Zydeco bands. I'm not crazy about playing in a Zydeco band. However, if you play in a Zydeco band and you genuinely enjoy it, it's important to you and it's a thing you want to do, then I am so happy for you. And I'll listen to a song, but I won't join in. I won't grab the spoons or the washboard and join in. So it's a big deal, and it's a big deal not in the way that if I ever got married, I would do. So it's interesting to watch the process this closely of something and being like, whoa, I'm continually happy I do not want to go through this. It is fun to watch, though. It's fun to be a part of, but also not have the responsibility of really, really doing anything until, oh, maybe 6 to 8 months ago, when my brother asked me at once to be the best man and the MC. Now, I had been kind of forewarned that the best man thing was happening. You genuinely and generally assume it. I have a very good relationship with my brother, enough that he would ask me. It would be weird if he didn't ask me. We're not estranged. We don't have a grudge. Do you understand what I'm saying? Sure. Like, I think I would at least be in the top three choices. You know, and if his friends are the grooms, he has enough groomsmen that he can afford to, you know, I think make everyone happy. And I had initially said to my mother, you know, well, I wonder who he's going to pick for the best man. Because if he had ever said to me, listen, you know, I want one of my friends to be the best man, I wouldn't be upset. It's not my duty in life to be a best man. If that's not what he wants, I'm happy to support him in however. This is not my wedding, you know what I mean? So I'm happy to do whatever I need to do under those circumstances. Did that make any sense? I guess. So anyway, I had asked my mother, who do you think will be the best man? And her response was, apparently this has been decided decades before me in the ancient tradition. My mother said, in our family, the brother is always the best man. I had not been made aware of this lineage, of our ancestry, our sacred traditions. I didn't know. It was like, you know, I upset the tome, the family tome. I had no idea. So, I had known it was coming at a certain point that he was going to ask me to be his best man. And I was prepared for that, to say, yes, I'm ready, whatever you need. I'm not quite sure what it entails. So a variety of jobs, I'm not quite sure. So at dinner, he asked me, he said, I want you to be my best man, which of course I was anticipating for months at this point, and the MC, which I was not prepared for. And I did not register the new information well on my face. He could tell, judging by his face, I could tell what my face looked like. And the best man thing I was emotionally prepared for, it's my brother. And I thought, well, of course, this is my brotherly duty. And then when he said MC, it sounded now like I have a job to do. And my face kind of, I went like that. And he go, what? And I'm like, not, I just, you know, And because now all of a sudden I'm thinking I have to do a performance. I have to do a whole thing. I don't know what to do. And he figured, I don't know, you know, you like talking in front of people, your comedy stuff. I thought it would be a good role for you. And I first explained that, A, he's never come to a comedy show of mine. If he did, he would see that people usually stare in polite bewilderment as I make references to things and people that are long gone and have since been very, very dead, and it's quite confusing, number one. Number two, nobody wants to hear material from me at a wedding. You can't do a type five. I'm not booked as a comedian. I'm booked as the master of ceremonies, which, thank God, that they now call the master of ceremonies the MC, because it's this master of ceremonies. It sounds like it's great. It's a kingdom. It's a prelude. It's a circus. I have a top hat and tails. No, nobody does that anymore. To be a master of anything is too much. I'm not really a master. I'm a host. The host of the wedding. And now here's your host. That would sound so much better. Anyway, I now have this burden on me. I've been thinking about it for months. The best man thing, I'm good with. I'm okay with. Whatever he wants to do, but it's not much we can do best man-wise under the circumstances. Can't really have a swinging bachelor party. I also think if he wanted to go to, you know, a strip club, that kind of thing, he would have not made me his best man. He knows I'm not that kind of person. You know what I'm talking about? And I don't have the interest. I don't have the ins. They give me anxiety. The strip clubs. When I'm a stripper, I don't watch the stripper. I will watch the guy in the front row watching them. And it makes me incredibly, incredibly uncomfortable. So, you know, now I'm thinking about it. Now I'm going back. I've only been to like a handful of weddings in my life. Three or four weddings. And I'm thinking, like, what do I like? What do I not like? What did I like from the host? And of course, there's always been a few bad speeches. I've been at weddings. I don't understand. Weddings now, for some reason, are less weddings and they're more like Lifetime Achievement Awards. Like it's a Carol Burnett tribute dinner or something. And they have to regale people these stories about how amazing these people. Meanwhile, the people are like, you know, 20 years old. They're like average-ass people. And that's okay. There's nothing wrong with that. It's just, you know, pretending that it's the Bob Hope 75th anniversary dinner is, you know, a little ridiculous. And also, it's always like, you're an amazing person. You're a wonderful person. It's always like, on that day, everyone treats you in their speeches like your Mother Teresa. And I've also been at, you know, so I'm at weddings with like 10 speeches, which is too long under any, no convention in the world. If I go to a TED talk and it has more than 6 speeches, I would want to leave. So I don't understand why any wedding should have 10 speeches, number one. Number two, some of the speeches are from people who are not public speakers, which is fine. I'm not going to hold that against them. But then they somehow have to attempt to be like, if you have to go to Toastmasters or if you have to take a public speaking lesson, just say your thank yous, like just give a toast, and that would be so much better. I remember one time I was at my friend's wedding and his wife's parents got up and did the speech together because they were nervous, which is, you know, a bad sign already. The guy did the speech and he said, and now my wife would like to read a poem. And then it's always, anytime you have to put these people pull out papers, it's always folded like 10 different ways. Crinkle, 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 crinkle. And you're like, what, is this from the Civil War? And I remember her unfolding it like it was reverse origami. And then her looking at it and just saying, what is a wife? And I don't remember the rest of the speech because I laughed so hard. So I don't want that. Under any circumstances, I don't like when things go long. Wrestling shows, movies, concerts, albums, comedy shows. I'm the master of ceremonies, and if I'm the master, if I have the whip, I have to crack it, and I have to make sure everyone is on time. And the best way to make sure all the speeches are on time is to make sure they go under time. Because people are going to go over no matter what. So if they go under, they'll be on time. Do you know what I'm saying? If you show up early, you're actually on time if you're a person who's chronically late. I hope that makes sense. So I think I will have to open this wedding. And I think I'm going to open by telling all the people making speeches that nobody really wants to hear you speak. They want to come here, they want to toast, and they want to eat, and they want to drink, and maybe even dance. That's a maybe. But one thing they do not want to do is hang on your every word. So just tighten it up, kids. And then the hard part about being the master of ceremonies and the best man is that I'm going to have to follow that up with a speech of my own. Usually, the master of ceremonies is different. It's a separate person. They can just, hey, keep it moving, keep it moving, keep it moving. I gotta go, hey, let's keep it moving. But let's slow it down for a minute while I talk about how I know my brother. And who wants to hear that? Your brothers. You act like brothers. There's nothing unusual about us. We didn't take a trip to the Arctic. You know what I mean? And then I'm gonna have to be somewhat humorous on top of it. However, my idea of true humor is probably not appropriate wedding humor. What's funny to me is things that are inappropriate and unappropriate. Like when you go to funeral, if you show up at a funeral and you say, hey, you have anything to eat? I mean, it's not the best example in the world, but it's inappropriate and that's why it's funny. But these are my family and friends, and even more so, you know, I'm not worried about my family and people who know me. I'm worried about other side, people who don't know me, and I'd say something stupid, and they'll whisper, what the hell is that? And they'll be like, I don't know, he was on Family Feud once, I have no idea. So, what can I do? What can I say? I'm not really sure without insulting people. I don't know. And then I feel like if I'm too polite, I'm not very funny. So, you know, there's two halves of me. And at least one of them will not be satisfied at the end of the night. However, I should take my own advice in my opening speech and realize this evening is not about me. It is about my brother and his wife-to-be, which I guess, well, it'll be after they got married, so it'll be his wife. And this, you know, big production. And it is a big production in the sense that it's probably the best indie wrestling show I've been to. That's how nice the production looks. And there's a weird thing that happens to me where in like public settings outside of comedy and wrestling and doing videos, I'm not interested in like being a part of a performance. So if I go to a magic show or if I go to a drag brunch, I'm not performing. I don't want to be part of the... I don't want to run on stage and be like, woo, you guys are the best. Let me be your assistant. Do some crowd work with me. And because of that, I'll sit in the back. I don't. I want to enjoy it. And I want to enjoy not being in it, if that makes sense. So I have an aversion to being really outside my comfort zone and yet being a part of this show thing. So the reason I think that is the case, this is my great theory, is because everybody has a desire to be in some kind of show, just inherently as a human being, and they can spend that in a variety of ways. I've chosen to spend that in relatively low amounts, but very, very frequently. So this would be an example of that. This is a low amount in the sense that it's very small production. It's on a relatively small scale, but something I do once a week, and then I'll do coffee and underwear, and you know, wrestling shows, comedy shows, a variety of videos and things like that. Relatively small, very frequently. What happens though, when that is not exercised frequently, when it's not spent for years and years and years is that it bubbles up inside and wants to just burst out all at once. And that's why I feel like people want to make weddings, you know, this big production to get that show energy out. They want to have a show, because if you really just wanted to get married, you just go to City Hall, where the hell is, and get married. And if it was a religious thing, it's a religious thing. But they want to have a little show. And it is a show in the truest sense, because it's like, look at all these things I've chosen. Tell me how good that. Pick them all out. We were completely in control. We've hired a producer. We've hired a band. We have a video wall. We have a smoke. I hope there's not a smoke machine. Oh, God, I just realized it might be a smoke machine. I'm going to really deride the smoke machine guy. If there's just one dedicated guy, I'm going to say, listen, here's $50. Just go wait in the car. I can't have this. Walk out of the bathroom and I feel like Papa Shango all of a sudden. It's ridiculous. So I feel like it's that. And when you look at it like that, you go, okay, I understand that a lot better. My mother was saying, listen to the song I picked for my dance with my son. Listen to it. She's been going on about for months and months and months. I suggested a couple songs. They were ultimately not picked. My ultimate song that I thought they should dance to is the piano instrumental at the end of Layla. You might remember it. In The Goodfellas, there's a scene where everyone's revealed to have been murdered in a variety of ways. In the car, they got their neck sliced, and Frankie Carbone's in the freezer. I thought it was nice. I thought it would be very nice, but whatever. So today she showed me the song, listened to the song. And at first I go, this is weird. You're making a whole show out of this. This is a weird thing. But I realized, like, I did the exact same stuff about my wrestling theme songs or finding a theme song for different videos. I'm like, this is the same thing. They've taken this and we haven't had a show for so long. And we have the right, I think everyone has the right to this show energy, and they're able to spend it however they want. Because after this, my brother is not in entertainment or show business. So after this, what is the next possible show? If he has a kid, it's not about him. He's now throwing a show for somebody else. So maybe there's like a 50th or a retirement party or something of that nature. I don't know. So maybe this is it. Maybe this is his only show. And that, in that sense, it's great. In that sense, it makes me feel better. In that sense, I want to say, let me see the lineup. Let me edit this thing. Please let me help you. I'm worried about how many speeches there's going to be. You know, I want to book it like a wrestling show or a comedy show. Be like, this person swears. Let's not put them back to back. There's going to be, you know, too many curse words. We don't want to have that. I think we should alternate families. They're going to make speeches. Is somebody going to sing? I have no idea. Also, apparently there's a difference between a speech and a toast. Because at bare minimum, there has to be a best man speech, right? But then apparently, I was talking to my friend, and he said, oh, yeah, and we had somebody do the toast. I was like, you just do what the fuck is that? Because, like, a speech, don't all these speeches end with raising your glass? And is that not in itself a toast? So what the hell is the official toast? Maybe there'll be a blessing. Maybe I'll have to do the blessing. You know, a couple times, I had been asked to do things at people's weddings that I did not know. One time, and it didn't pan out for whatever reason, maybe they instantly realized it was a bad idea. I was supposed to dress up as a guest. It was all of a sudden, like, I guess, Tony and Tina's wedding, basically. Go to this wedding, dress up, pretend I'm a guest. And when the people were going to make speeches, I would cut the best man off and cut a heel promo on him and roast the bride and groom. And then I think the groom would hit me, or the best man would hit me. It would be like a wrestling thing. It was wrestling related. And I thought, this is fantastic and will also backfire. And it's just a really long way to go for this joke that I don't think your parents will be a fan of. And then I was also asked to officiate a wedding, which I was very, very touched by. yet. I said, you guys don't want me to do that. I'm not gonna give you what you want. I'm incapable of it. And they thought about it for 5 minutes and they said, you're right. We retract that. And that's the best place to be. So my goal with this wedding is to be a good brother, a supportive brother, understand that this is not my show, even though I'm in it. I'm here to support the show, and this may be the only show he ever does. And in that sense, it's incredibly important to me. So if I can't be the best man while being the best man, I at least want to be not the worst man. This has been more content with RJ City.